I don't have time for the whole chapter. It would take about 8 or 9 sermons to do that. And I don't have time for all of verse 8 because that would take 2 sessions and we only have 1. So I'm going to take half a verse and give you a biblical principle. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Okay, that's real simple. But that's real complicated. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Now, this is what we refer to as a biblical principle. Now, there are only, Dr. Jack Hyle says that you only have about 35, 36 biblical principles that run through your Bible. And as you read through the Bible, you absorb principles subconsciously. And every time you read one of the parables or one of the miracles or one of the historic experiences in the Old Testament, that principle is embedded a little bit stronger and you become a little bit more biblical and you will react and respond a little bit more spiritual without you realizing it. And you get to be a better Christian as you attend Sunday school, as you read your Bible, as you pray, and as you are exposed to teaching sessions and so on. Now, there are hundreds and hundreds of facts in each story. Take the story of David and Goliath and you've got 70, 80, 90 facts in that story. And we have people here have been going to Sunday school long enough that you can stand up and give us 40, 50, 60, 70 facts all by yourself because you are familiar with it. Now, those facts are not major, but they're all important. But there's an underlying principle in that story that you will absorb without knowing it. And that is that a little bitty nobody like David, who doesn't amount to a whole lot, with God's help and blessings on his life, can handle a great big Goliath, 9 foot 6 inches tall, with a little sling and stones. Now, when I run into my Goliath, he's not going to be a Philistine, 9 foot 6 inches tall. He may be cancer. He may be a suicide in my family. It may be a betrayal of a mate. He may be somebody cheating me out of some money that I loaned to him. It may be 100 other things. And they are giants. That giant had 4 brothers. Giants keep coming. And if I absorb that, when my giant comes, I will have the blessing of the Lord upon me, and I'll be able to do what David. I'll come out on the victory side. But if I don't have that in me, and I'm not biblical, I cannot be spiritual. Now, you can't be spiritual unless you're scriptural. So that's the important part of study. Now, this little passage is one of the principles, and it says, if you will get this much closer to the Lord this morning than you were when you came to Sunday school, then the Lord says, I will come this much closer to you. I will reciprocate. I'm going to do what you do. Okay, if you come a foot closer, okay, he said, I'll come a foot closer too. Maybe somebody would come a yard closer. Then he said, okay, now we'll be 2 yards closer. Maybe somebody would go a mile and so on. Okay, now if you will think about the fact that that the Lord is waiting on us to flip a switch. Somebody came in the auditorium ahead of us and flipped a switch somewhere, and the lights came on. Now, we all have sense enough to know it didn't start there. Somewhere out in this area is a hydroelectric plant that cost hundreds of millions of dollars to get it into operation, took hundreds of thousands of man hours. The turbines began to turn, and they created the electricity. The electricity was pumped out over 3-phase wires into this area and went into a transform here probably on the property, and that broke it down into a smaller size current, and that brought it up to the meter box and then from there to that light switch. And then somebody just went over with their finger and just clipped that switch and boom, we get the benefits of all those millions and millions of everything. And that's a trigger verse. Now, these little trigger verses in the Bible, and I tell you, I cannot find any of the promises of God that are not preceded by a little trigger switch. If you do your part, then I will step in and do. You draw nigh, and I will draw nigh. Now think about it, if you will, for a minute. This business of think about James 1:5. Listen to this verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Would you like to have wisdom? Then he says, anybody lacks wisdom? Come and ask me for it and I'll give it to you. Flip your switch. If you'll pray, God will give you enlightenment and understanding of the scripture. But he said, I'm not going to give it to you unless you ask me for it. Now, think about it. At my age, I don't know if your computer, if you're familiar with a computer, but a computer has a program on it called defragment. And when you put a fact in a computer, it goes over and stores it here. And you get another something, and you store it over there. And you put another something in, it stores it over here. And it's all related, but it's all, and that after a while, you ask the computer something, and it goes over there and here and there and there, and it bogs down because it has to go all these different places. But you run the defragment program on your computer, and it'll go gather up all those things that are familiar and put them in the same topical area so that when you ask it, boom, it goes straight to it. Now, at my age, I have been praying a special prayer recently. Lord, would you please defragment my brain? I want to speed my brain up. Now, I don't want to get Alzheimer's slowed down. And at my age, you almost always do start slowing down. You can't remember. Now, who was that? And about a half hour later, I remember. But I believe the Lord will do it for me because he wants to keep me effective. Now, do you remember that story in Luke 11 where Jesus said, if any of you men have a little boy and he comes to you and asks you for a piece of bread, would you give him a stone? Of course not. Anybody, if he comes and asks for a fish, would you give him a serpent? No. How about if he'd ask you for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? No. He said, well, look, if you being evil or if you have an Adamic nature in you and you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. He said, ask for the Holy Spirit and he'll give them to you. You don't ask, you don't get. You have not because you ask not, and then when you do ask, you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your own lust. He said, the reason you don't have is because you don't ask. That little business of flipping the switch. Now, think about it. Here's a verse in 1 Samuel 2:30. It says, them that honor me, I will honor. Really? Anybody here would like God to honor you? Well, all of us would. Well, he said, I'll tell you how to do it. If you'll honor me, I'll honor you. And I'll tell you what that verse says. You honor me a little bit, I'll honor you a little bit. You honor me a whole lot, I'll honor you a whole lot. How much would you like for God to honor you? Sounds like the ball's in our court. Sounds like it's my turn. If we're playing checkers, it's my move. Okay, listen to this verse, Zechariah 1:3. Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord. Really? Now, I don't know about you, but I got a lot of irons in the fire, and I get real busy, and I turn around and taking care of my things. Well, when I do, the Lord turns around, and he's over there keeping all the angels happy, and he's taking care of the stars and keeping them all shining bright. And I'm turned around, he's turned around. But if I turn, he turns. Now, listen to this verse. It's Malachi 3:7. It says, return unto me, saith the Lord, and I will return unto you. So when I get busy, I wander off down into my activities, and I get way off down there sometimes, almost to the prodigal's pig pen. And then I turn around, and he turns around, and I return, and he returns. He said, come unto me, all ye labor heavy laden, and if you do that, I'll give you rest. Okay? If I do this, he'll do that. Okay? Now, listen to this one, 1 Chronicles 15:2. The Lord is with you, comma, while you be with him. Really? Yeah, as long as you're with him, he's with you. Okay? So it sounds like balls in my court in that one too. Listen to this one. You'll have trouble with this one. Solomon said in Proverbs 8:17, I love them, comma, that love me. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. The Bible says in the New Testament that God so loved us that while we were yet sinners and didn't have the capacity and didn't have any concern or interest or desire to love him, he loved us while we were yet sinners. Yeah, I know. When we're sinners, God loves us regardless of what we do or what we say or how we act because he understands who we are and he understands we don't have any capacity to love him. But then he saves us. Now the rule book changes. And the Lord says, okay, now I'm going to love you as much as you love me. That's what it says. I love them that love me. You love me a little bit, I'll love you a little bit. You love me a whole lot, I'll love you a whole lot. What he's really saying is, I am going to love you as much as you will allow me to love you. But I'm not going to dump my love out on you when you're spitting on me and when you're over there running around and down there living in the hog pen, and when you're out there cursing and carrying on and all, he said, I'm going to withhold. But if you will love me a whole lot, I'll love you a whole lot. Now, we could do this all through the Bible. I come up with hundreds and hundreds of verses. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, I can't find any promises or any things that the Lord has said that he will do that is not preceded by something that he asked me to do first. Trigger verse. In the matter of salvation, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What will that do for you? And thou shalt be saved. Don't believe, don't get saved. Okay? All right, Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, won't go to hell, but will have eternal life. But you got to believe first. Okay? John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave you power to become sons of God. I could come up with 25 or 30 more in the salvation category, but you've got to have the initial. I know God does show the initial move when he loves us and makes it available to us, but he's expecting some kind of response. He's built the hydroelectric plant, and he's paid for all of the apparatus to bring it to me, and he says, now, I'm not going to dump it on you. I want you to flip the switch so that you can take advantage of it. What about in the area of praying? Listen to the verse. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, that's conditional. Now, if you do this, you abide in me and my words abide in you, comma, do two little things. You can ask me for anything you want to and I'll give it to you. I have a little booklet called How to Get 100% of Your Prayers Answered. I didn't say 99%, I said 100% of your prayers answered. That is possible. Jesus did that. But that's not likely because we're not at the level where we could get 100%. Somebody in here might get 20% or 30% or 50%. But if I really work at it, scripturally, biblically, I could really benefit. Now listen to this, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, that's my part. I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. That's his part. Okay? Here's my part. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut to the door, pray in secret. That's mine. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's his part. Okay? All right? And listen to this. Ask. Okay, that's me. Ye shall receive. That's him. Seek. That's me. And you'll find. That's him. Then knock, that's my part, and it'll be opened unto you. I got to ask, I got to seek, I got to knock, so he can do his thing, okay? So it works in salvation, it works in prayer, okay? It works in soul winning. In Psalm 126, Dr. Rice's favorite verse, verse 6, he said, he that goeth forth bearing precious seed and weeping, doubtless without any doubt whatsoever, he's going to come back rejoicing, bringing sheaves with him. If I do that, then this will happen. Dr. Rice used to come to our church, and he'd put his glasses down on his nose like that. He had bushy eyebrows and gray hair, and he'd look at us and say, yeah, now the real reason you're not winning any souls is, according to the Bible, he says, you're not going. And then he quoted that verse. Dr. Rice was a handsome man inside. Now, he got quite homely when he got old. Yeah. He had a long turkey gobbler's neck here, you know, underneath there. And he had great big sags under his eyes here, you know. And his hair was down his face and his big old bushy eyebrows, you know. And he'd look at you. And one little girl in our church said, Dr. Rice, you're so handsome, except in the face. But Dr. Rice had great wisdom. But he told our folks, he said, according to the Bible, if you're not winning any souls, it's because you're not going. He says, not because you don't know how or because you don't understand. He says, you're just not going. Because he said, if you go, you without any doubt will come rejoicing. Okay, listen, in Matthew 4:19, he said, if you'll follow me, that's my part, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Okay, so it works in the matter of soul winning. It works in the matter of giving. He says, I want to talk to you about giving. I would like to give you a lot of help in the financial area of your life. So let me tell you, I got this little plan. It's kind of like put a seed in the ground and it will bring forth fruit. Now put one grain of corn and I'm going to give you back one ear. He said, this is a basic principle that a farmer understands. He puts one grain of wheat in the ground, he's going to get one head of wheat. And he makes his living by believing that. Now he says, I want you to bring your tithes into the storehouse. Now prove me, try me out, see if I'm telling the truth or lying about this. If I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you will not be able to receive it. I'll give you more than you can handle. I went over to Possum Trot, Kentucky to preach. If you've never been to Possum Trot, you need to go over there sometime. It's 10 miles down the road from Monkey's Eyebrow. It's right near Paducah, right in western Kentucky. Actual places. There's a place called Stinking Creek, Kentucky, over on the eastern side. And up in the mountains, so help me, you won't believe this, but right in the eastern part of Kentucky mountains is a place called Hell for Certain. And they got a Baptist church called the Hell for Certain Baptist Church. You can go up there and join it if you want to. I'm not going up there. Okay. But I was at Possum Trot, and I told a story about when I was in college. Dr. Lee Robertson said, you preacher boy, dress up. He said, put a white shirt and tie on. And dress. Don't come in here look like a tramp now. Just do the best you can. And my clothes were all ragged. And I told how I prayed 3 days and God sent me 3 suits, brand new ones. And I said, you know those suits? The Lord knew what size I was. They were 43 regular. And I said, you know, I still wear the same size. And then I facetiously said, would you write that down, please, so you won't forget what size I wear. And after it was all over, this sweet little white-haired lady came up to me. She said, Pastor Wallace, you know about the suits the Lord gave you. She said, my husband was a 43 regular. He was a wonderful man, and the Lord took him home to heaven a couple years ago. And she said, he has a whole closet full of beautiful suits and sport coats and things. And she says, I just wonder if you'd allow me to bring one of them to you tomorrow night. I said, well, ma'am, if you'd like, I would love that. I really didn't need a suit, but I wanted to help her do whatever she felt like would be a blessing. And so that night she showed up, and she said, where's your car? I said, right over here. She pulled her car up alongside of my car, and she had 35 beautiful, almost brand-new suits, 43 regular, 35 of them. And then she had about 25 or 30 white shirts, all of expensive shirts, and beautiful ties. She had 30, 40 ties. And then she gave me 25 belts. And she had 2 or 3 top coats and 2 or 3 sport coats. Couldn't get them all in the car, and I got home, and I couldn't get them in the closet. That's what the verse says. I'll give you more than you can handle. Okay. All right, now that's what he said. And listen to this. New Testament, Luke 6:38. Give, that's my part, clip the switch, and shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom, for with what measure you give will be measured back to you again. Are you a tither? Okay, you say, well, let me say this kindly. You don't believe the Bible. Oh, you see, I do. No, if you're not a tither, you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe God. Because if you believe you'd do this, I mean, the Lord says, look, if you will put this in this hand, I will hand you back this hand. And you say, well, I won't be able to pay my rent if I do that. If you'd believe God, you could pay your rent. If you try. And you get some of these folks been doing this 50, 60, 70 years and see how God's blessed and taking care of them and pattern that. Well, just flip the switch. See? And if you don't flip the switch, then don't look for it to work out for you. You're not going to be able to catch up all those bills. Okay? Okay. I won't be sweet about this. Us preachers just have the hardest time to keep them getting mean. I got real mean spirited. I got out of character. Now, everybody says, Brother Wallace, we like Brother Wallace because he's a nice guy. I'm known as the nice guy preacher. And he said, we like Brother Wallace because he always smiles when he sticks his knife in you. Okay. Okay, listen to this. It says, Whatsoever a man soweth, that's my part, that shall he also reap. Put a grain of corn in, get an ear of corn out, sometimes 2 ears of corn. Cast thy bread upon the water, Ecclesiastes 11:1, and after not many days it shall return unto thee. Okay? All right, now those are basic principles. If you operate by the principles of the Bible, then the benefits and blessings promised in the Bible will come to you, and you'll be able to grow old happy, and you won't lay on your deathbed saying, I wish I could go back and do it over again. You can't. So you better do it right to start with. Okay? All right? Now, overcoming in the matter of victory. Listen to this. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for after he's tried, he shall receive a crown. Now, a crown is somebody who is in charge. It's the king. And the king is the authority. And he is in charge. And the Bible says, blessed, happy is the person who endures and is able to overcome because he becomes the king over his situation. He goes on to say in another verse, there is no temptation or trial or trouble or problem or situation or circumstance that is not common to man. Everybody has the same ones, but God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted or troubled above what you're able to, but will with that make a way to escape. And so he says, if you do this, now I'll do that. If you endure and you respond scripturally and spiritually, then you'll become the king and you'll be in charge and you'll be able to handle whatever the situation is coming into your life. Now, also, how about raising kids? You remember our well-known verse in Proverbs 22:6? Train up a child in the way he shall go. That's my part. I got to study and pray and work on it, concentrate and not neglect. Our problem is not that we don't want to. We just get so busy with stuff and things and schedules and all that we neglect and we don't work at. And as a result, the kids grow up by listening to secular humanism and all kinds of modernistic ideology, and they become humanists and they become secularists and they get out and do stupid things and have to pay the price and they make you suffer for it. If I would give attention to them and train them up in the way they shall go and really work at finding out what the Bible says and be sure to get them in a Christian environment and get them in a Christian school and have prayer and devotions with them. Then he says, then when they're old, they won't depart from it. You see, your mind is built like a turtle. You got this turtle body in the back here and you got this little turtle head up here, your active brain. It's kind of like a computer. You got this ROM or RAM memory up here in front, and then you got this big hard disk, and some are harder than others, you know. And we got these five senses out here, sight, smell, taste, feel, and hear. Some people are blessed with two extra senses, horse and common. Not everybody got those. But everything we're exposed to comes in and is planted back in our memory or in our hard disk now. Now, you can't control what you see, what you hear, what you feel, what you think. Those things are just on you. Suddenly, there they are. See, when David saw that naked woman taking her bath, there wasn't anything wrong with what he saw. But he allowed his mind to dwell on it. And in a few minutes' time, he was thinking wrong. And then he became doing wrong. And then he got real bad wrong. And then he paid and paid and paid and paid. It is always that way. Achan saw that gold and goodly silver and goodly Babylonian garment. Wasn't anything wrong in seeing that, but he didn't react spontaneously. And when I are exposed through my senses, sight, smell, taste, feel, it comes into my mind. And if I immediately, 2 Corinthians 10 says, bring your every thought into captivity, I got to react and respond scripturally. And if I've got scripture in me, I immediately will do the right thing. I'll shut the door. I won't meditate. I won't do what David did because the Bible says that story of David and that story of Achan and the story of Job and the story of Joshua. It says 2 Corinthians 10:6-10, it says, these things that happened to them in the Old Testament happened to them for our examples. God said, I put that in the Bible for your benefit. That's not just some historical story. That's not some parable about somebody over there 10,000 miles away 4,000 years ago. I put that in the Bible for you. And so if I absorb Scripture, I become scriptural automatically. And then today I get out here and somebody gets in front of me or some situation or circumstance comes up suddenly, I'm going to react. Now, we're not interested in how you act. Anybody can act. Act comes from the word actor. And the definition of actor is a person with two faces. A person who pretends to be something they are not. I could go out that door and come back in with a great big crown on my head and a big ermine robe on, you know. And I could say, ladies and gentlemen, I stand before you this morning. I am the king of Israel. My name is Solomon. You say, Brother Wallace is playing the part. He's acting. He's Solomon today. Okay? Now, anybody can act. Anybody can pretend. But we're interested in how you react when suddenly you are faced with temptation. It's according to how much scripture you got in you, it's how you're going to react. If you're filled full of Plato and Aristotle, Socrates and Karl Marx and Charles Darwin, you're probably going to be selfish and greedy, and you get your feelings hurt easy. You're going to disagree and you're going to get mad, and somebody's going to do you dirty and you're going to hate them, and you're going to ruin yourself. You're not going to hurt them because you're not doing it scripturally. Okay? Okay. Now, think about the basic direction of our life in this trigger verse thing. It's that commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he'll direct your path. What shall I do about buying that house or moving to that other town? Or what shall I do about joining that church or putting my kids in that Christian school? Or what shall I do about changing jobs? Or what are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you what I think. That's your problem. That's humanism. I think. Okay? I need to pray about it. I was telling Miss Eva Chandler, I bought a car off her brother-in-law without praying about it. It gave me more trouble. Finally, I prayed 6 weeks and traded it off and got the best deal of my life. I told my wife, I said, honey, you realize that we got to fooling around down there with Wayne up in Dothan, Alabama. And I Wayne and I were just kidding around. The first thing you know, I bought his car. I hadn't talked to the Lord about it. I knew better than that. I said, Mary, we didn't pray about that. I got home, and boy, I started spending money. Every time you go down to get a, you know, a $50 thing, it was $500. And would you believe it was a Jaguar? Any preacher ought to have sense enough to know he shouldn't drive a Jaguar. I mean, the love offerings go right down. Ooh. And I went and traded it off for a Nissan. And I drive along my Nissan now, and everybody says, old preacher down to earth now. Okay. But anyhow, commit thy way to the Lord, trust in him, talk with him about it. He'll direct your path. He'll tell you whether to buy or sell or get gain. All right. Listen to this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine understanding, and he will direct thy path. Okay. He'll show you. What shall I do about it? Ask God. What shall I do about it? Here's what I think. We make our own decisions without getting God in on it, and we pay a price, and that's because we're not thinking scripturally. We're not living in the Spirit. We're walking in the flesh. And they that walk in the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Do you believe that? Some of you don't believe that. You're having all kinds of trouble because you haven't practiced that. Okay, there I go being mean again. I got mean one Sunday morning in my church, and I got completely out of character. And I just blasted our folks. I smiled while I did it, but I still did. And then I did something else stupid. I kept about 20 minutes too long. And when you put that combination together, that's bad. Well, after it was over, I got up and I said, folks, before we go home, please let me, I've got to do something. I need to apologize to you. I am sorry. I didn't mean to get out of character. I didn't mean to get mean and nasty. And I didn't mean to keep you so long. And I want to ask you to forgive me. And I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go home, get you a good dinner, get you a good nap. Come on back here tonight. We're going to have a wonderful service tonight. You're dismissed. And I went out there in the lobby, and one of our sweetest little white-haired ladies walked up to me, and she said, "Oh, Brother Wallace, you don't have to go apologizing to stuff like that. You know we don't never pay no attention to nothing you say." That's the problem. Now, what I'm saying, I want you to pay some attention to what I'm saying, because it'll be a help to you. And I didn't come down here just for my benefit. I came down here to be a blessing, and I get this one shot at you. And now, listen, let me wrap it up with the idea of prosperity. All of us would like to prosper, but there's a problem. When I mention prosperity, for about 60-70% of people get dollar marks in their mind. And that means that that's so narrow. When you go to the Bible, prosperity comes in 9 different categories: spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, social, domestic, and then financial, material, and eternal. And Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, soak, absorb, saturate yourself, that thou mayest obey," or that you might do whatever it says. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thy way shall be prosperous," spiritual, physical, mental, so forth. 9 ways, okay? And so I got to get into the Bible and get the Bible into me so I can be scriptural. Now, when I'm scriptural, now, automatically, without even thinking, I will react and respond spiritually to whatever comes up. If I don't have it in there, I'll blow it, and then I'll say, "What did I do wrong? I did what I thought was right." Okay? And Psalm 1:3, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, his leaf will not wither, his fruit will come forth in season. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." By absorbing and meditating therein day and night. 1 Timothy 4:15, "Meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be truly furnished unto all good works." James 1:25, "Blessed is the man who looketh into the perfect law of liberty. This man shall be blessed," or prosper, "in his deeds," whatever he does. And then Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you." What things? House, car, retirement, and all those things. Our problem, we go after things and then ask God to bless. And he says, "No, you got it wrong. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." You're studying your Bible and being faithful to church and absorbing truth and getting these principles in. We don't come to church because we're supposed to. We come to find out what the Bible says. I need help. I want some understanding. I'm going to school this morning so that I can get biblical and scriptural. So I will react and respond spiritually and scripturally. And then God says, "And I promise you, I'll bless you. I'll prosper you," all 9 areas. And then let me touch on this. I got about a half a minute here. In the matter of forgiveness and pardon, anybody blow it, mess up, say wrong, do wrong, go wrong, be wrong this week? He says, look, let me give you a trigger verse. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness." Anybody mess up? Okay. Find your prayer closet and shut the door and get on your knees and say, "Lord, I blew it, messed up." Instead of just trying to go on and pretend everything's all right, let God help.